Hi, welcome to Exchange CC Podcast. At Exchange, we are about four things: knowing God, making Him known, building His church, and bringing heaven to earth. We pray that these messages would encourage, bless, and help you become all that God's called you to be.
Awesome. Were you excited for the word this morning? Awesome. Well, I'm excited to preach. If you're taking notes, which I encourage you to, especially if you're single, this is your moment. Because your spouse could just very well have on their list, note taker in church. It wasn't on my list, but I had other things on my list that Mark met all of them, which is amazing. Make disciples. And you write down, make disciples. And we're going to be looking at six lessons from Saul and Ananias. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, that it shall not return void, but it shall accomplish everything that it was sent out to do. Father, I thank you for the word that has already been spoken over our church. Father, I thank you for worship this morning. I thank you, Lord, that we already entered into your presence and into your throne room. I thank you, Lord, for the prayer time before the service. God, I thank you for our kids ministry. God, for our youth ministry. God, I just thank you for this house. And we just pray, Lord, you would continue to bless, continue to anoint. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to be starting in Matthew chapter 28. And I'm going to read from verse 18 to verse 20. And I encourage you, it will be on the screen for those of you who forgot to bring your Bible today. And if you don't have a Bible, we actually have some Bibles at the end that we can give you after the service. But it's really important that you engage the text yourself. It's really important that you bring your Bible to church, that you open it up, that you have a look, that you read it. And can I just encourage you? I say this often, but if you do not have a physical copy of a Bible for you and your household, would you go ahead and grab one? I know we're so reliant on the text being on our phone, but there might just come a day where they'll shut that off and you'll no longer be able to access the Word of God. There might come a day where they'll do an update. And you'll have no idea what that update is, but it's changing the Word of God. So get it in print, put it away. We will be spared from the wrath of God, I can tell you that. But I cannot guarantee you that we will be spared from persecution, from this world. So, yes? Awesome. If you're here for your first time, come back next week. Pastor Mark will be preaching and all things will be good. Actually, it is a real honor to bring the word, and so I'm just very thankful for the opportunity that I get to call Exchange Community Church home and that I get an opportunity to share his word with you this morning. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and do what? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit," not the Holy Bible, "and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And I love this. "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." There is a lot in this text. It talks about authority, talks about make disciples, talks about obeying, and it talks about how Jesus is with us always, even till the very end of the age. But the focus from this text today is on the word disciple. Everyone say disciple. And it comes from the Greek word matheteus. Everyone say matheteus. Which means this: to be a learner, a student, and a follower. So every time you see the word disciple written in scripture, you know that it is meaning someone who is a learner, a student, and a follower of Jesus. So right at the end of Matthew, we know that in the beginning of Matthew 28, Jesus has risen from the grave. He has spent 40 days before he ascended. And the very last words, before he ascends to sit at the right hand of his Father, which he's at right now until he returns for us, he says these words: "Go and make disciples." He is commanding us not just to tell people about Jesus, although that's really important, not just to believe for people to get saved, although that is really important, but to train them, equip them to become committed students, followers, of Jesus Christ. Our focus, therefore, is on obeying, teaching, learning, and living a relationship with Jesus. So a disciple is not just someone who believes, but it is someone who is learning and obeying. It's not just a one-time decision, yes, all right, I'm saved, my eternity is secure. No, a disciple is someone who has an ongoing, intimate relationship with Jesus. And a disciple is someone who makes more disciples. There is a reproducing that happens because we're all told to go and make disciples. And the heart here at Exchange is that we would make disciples, we would be discipling, and that we would also be in that intimate relationship with Jesus, not just having the same revelation that we had yesterday, but that we were continually learning and growing. How many know that every time you read the Word of God, there's fresh revelation? There's something new. Newsflash, we have not arrived at the point of completely understanding and completely knowing. There is just so much more for us and that Jesus has for us. So let's commit to being students, followers, and learners of Jesus Christ until he takes us home to be with him. You know, I was ordained in 1999, before half of you were born, I know. Feeling old in this moment, especially when Toscani talked about celebrating the pastor's 60th. I looked across to Esther and I went, oops, maybe we'll all go away for my 60th. But for the 25 years that I've been in ministry, my focus has always been on strategy for disciple making and set up strategies in the church in Sydney, in Houston. And the one place that I have not done it is in our own church, is in the church that Mark and I planted. And I have been waiting on the Lord, inquiring of him, because it's good to inquire of the Lord. It is written, go make disciples, logos, what is the rhema? How do we make disciples at Exchange? And August last year, I invited anyone who wanted to come and be a part of our leadership cohort. And we have journeyed together over the past 10 months, just talking about the strategy of discipleship. And so you'll see on the screen where we're heading as a church, and I'm really excited about this. So the way that we're going to make disciples here at Exchange is there's four key areas. The first one that you'll see is connection groups. And we're reading the wrong way, but that's okay. Connection groups, and Mary Beth, if you want to give us a wave, Mary Beth, is overseeing our connection groups, which she has been doing a phenomenal job for the last couple years. What we're bringing is clarity and focus to what we're calling a connection group. And honestly, Mary Beth is probably one of the best connectors of people I have ever met. Mark and I call her the mayor of Walnut Creek. Maybe you should run for office one day. No, we want you heading up our connection groups. But we've been a little bit honing these, being more a little bit strategic, and our connection groups are going to be Alpha, Financial Peace. If you want to do a study that someone else has already written and you want to facilitate that, that's going to come under our connection groups. I'm inviting us as a church to grab this study. It's by Dr. Nina, who preached a few weeks ago, and it's on the life of Abraham, and it's a brilliant mix of the Old Testament and then Hebrews. And so I want to encourage you, if you want to join us, there's already a bunch of our leaders have already signed up to be a part of it. All it is grab the study, and in your own home, in your own household, go through it. There are 23 chapters, and at the end of every chapter, there's a reflection page that you do personally, because I believe as we're stepping into our new season, we need to stir up spiritually. For those of you who are married, you'll remember the planning and the organizing and the finances that went into the wedding day was huge. But if that's all your focus was, you would have missed the preparation for the marriage. And I feel like as we're about to acquire a building, it's really important that we gear up spiritually. And so it's an invitation. I have 5 of them left. If you want to see Maggie at the end to grab it, if not, you can go on Amazon and order it and be a part of that. But this is what we're calling connection groups. It's a study written by someone else. And if you're running a connection group, you're facilitating that study. discipleship groups, which is what we prayed over Esther and Henry, and I'm so excited that they said yes to pioneering and leading discipleship groups. It's something we have not yet done at Exchange, but this is going to become the heart, the focus, and the hub of our church. When we planted Exchange, it was prophesied over us that there is a sound coming from Exchange. And I always thought that that would just be in worship. But as I've sat on the word, I realized it's the sound of preaching. It's the sound of discipleship. It's the sound of prayer. It's the sound of humility. It's the sound of community. There is so much more than just in the worship that's coming out of our church. And before Jose and Yvonne left for Florida to plant their church, they're doing great, by the way. He's got a job. Kids are enrolled in school. They've changed the number plates, so no one is, you know, giving them the royal wave for having a California number plate in Florida. But he said, there is a sound of discipleship coming from this house, and I believe it to be true. And then we're going to, obviously, if you want to lead a discipleship group, we want to train you, we want to equip you, we want to prepare you. The heart of discipleship groups is that they multiply, and they're going to be smaller. I see about 6 to 8 people, and then from that group, the leader will be like, hey, I really think you could lead a group. Going to hop into our leadership development cohort, which is going to be led by Christian and Andre. And if you know Christian and Andre, they are phenomenal teachers. I know my kids got to grow up listening to Christian teach in the kids' ministry. She's preached here on a Sunday, but the way that they open up the Word of God and explain it is just awesome. So our development will be 10 classes, finished on a night of prayer and prophetic and releasing, and so I encourage you to be a part of it. And then last but not least is our leadership cohort, which will be led by Pastor Mark. And that is for anyone who's running a small group in the life of our church, anyone who's leading people. And the exciting thing about this is that everyone's being discipled and everyone disciples. It also helps Mark and I streamline our calendar to focus on those who are actually leading people and to investing our time into those who are discipling others. Are you excited? Yeah, I'm excited. I've never run anything like this, but I feel like it is the strategy from the Lord for us here at Exchange. And so if we're talking about lessons from Saul and Ananias, our key text today is found in Acts chapter 9. But before, so I'll give you a minute to start turning to Acts chapter 9. But before we get there, I always like to give the backstory to the text that I'm about to read so that we don't take it out of context. Because if we take scripture, if we take the text out of context, we're left with a con. That's exactly right. So it's important to know the before that what we're reading to about. So in Acts chapter 7, we'll learn about how Stephen was stoned by actual physical rocks. You know, because I know we're in California, so need to clarify that one. And the scripture says that the witnesses, I want you to imagine this. Here's a man being killed as people are just pelting rocks at him, and people come out to witness it, and those people who are coming out to witness it lay their cloaks at the feet of a man named Saul. Then we move into Acts chapter 8, and we hear that Paul approved, he was pleased that they killed this man Stephen. And as a result, there was persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And the scripture actually says that Saul began to destroy the church. He went from house to house. And if he found out you were a Christian, a follower of the way, a believer, regardless if you were a child, a female, male, he would drag you from your house and put you in to prison. And it's with that backdrop that we will now read Acts chapter 9. Starting at verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for a letter to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found anyone who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them to the prison in Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly, A light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he went to open up his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all of us who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and to the kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up, was baptized, ate some food, regained his strength, and he spent several days in Damascus with the disciples. Awesome passage of scripture. 6 things we're going to pull out real quick from this scripture. Number one, salvation is for all. Salvation is for all. Do you remember who Saul was? He was dragging Christians from their home. He was persecuting them. He was the man who watched another man get killed to death, and he delighted in it. He wasn't moved by this man's faith. Instead, he was trying to figure out, how can I destroy this group of people even more? If you think about someone who is far away from salvation, way out of the reach of God, you would be thinking Saul would be this man. And yet Saul got saved. And yet Saul encountered Jesus. Church, my encouragement to you this morning, there is no one too far from the Lord's reach. There is no one that cannot be saved. And I wonder if in your own thinking and in your own mind, there are people that you've gone, "I cannot pray for them because they are beyond God's reach." The encouragement from Acts chapter 9 for us this morning is that salvation is for all. There is no one that Jesus cannot reach. 2 Peter 3:9 talks about how God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We might think, "God, you're being slow," but you're seeing the heart of the Lord of our God that says, "No, it's my heart that none should perish." There is no one on this planet that is too far from the love and the reach of God. At Exchange, we have a thing called Prayer of Three, which is simply all of us asking the Lord to bring to our name 3 names, be it a family member, a co-worker, a friend, that you're going to pray fervently and effectively for their salvation and believe for their salvation. Church, the harvest is plentiful, even in your home, even in your friend group, even in your work. You and I, may we be the faithful laborers to see these people that we love dearly worshiping with us on Sunday, to see them in church receiving the incredible word that Toscani just brought. salvation is for? It's for all. Second one, ordinary but available. There was a certain man who was a disciple, and his name was Ananias. We don't know anything about Ananias prior to this encounter with Saul, and we don't hear anything about him after this encounter with Saul. Now, there is another Ananias in the Bible, but it's not this one. We don't know how he came to Damascus. We don't know what happened to him after he prayed for Saul. All we know is that he was a disciple. He's not mentioned as an apostle. He's not mentioned as a prophet. He's not mentioned as a pastor, an evangelist, an elder, a deacon, just an ordinary disciple. God loves to use the ordinary, who are just simply available. When I think about being a disciple of Christ, it's not trying to, well, I can't sing, so therefore, God, you can't use me. Well, I can't preach, therefore, God. No, he delights in using the ordinary who are just simply available. I wonder, church, if you are available this morning for God to use. Or are you telling yourself that you're not qualified because you don't know enough of the Bible? Because you don't have everything together? You don't have all your ducks in a row? How many don't even know where their ducks are? It's just about being available. Salvation is for all. Ordinary but available. Number three, attuned to God's voice. Attuned. Attuned. You know, the last few weeks, or the last few months actually, Pastor Mark has been preaching incredible sermons on how to hear God's voice. The fact that God still speaks and that he has already spoken. So I don't want to take too much on this point because you have incredible sermons to go back and to listen to. But I do want to highlight from this text how very differently God spoke to Ananias, to Saul. Saul, it was bold, it was violent, it was confronting. With Ananias, it was sweet, it was soft, and it was in a vision. When it comes to hearing God's voice, I want to remind you that you were created by him and for him. Therefore, he knows exactly how to speak to you because he created you. I want you to know that you will hear God's voice in a manner that you can understand. You might be shocked at how he speaks to me, but I'm stubborn. I'm hard-headed. So he just comes in real hard. Ellie, you are a jerk. That's what I hear. You better go and repent. Ellie, that's not okay. Maybe for you it's a little softer because you are kinder and sweeter than I am. Number four, a disciple is marked by honesty. Marked by honesty. When the Lord spoke to Ananias, what was his response? He's like, you have got to be kidding me. Anyone but this man. Do you know who he is? Hang on a minute, God. Hang on. I think you know all things. I think you're everywhere. How could you get this so wrong? This is the man killing people like me. You want me to go to him? Not on your life. He engages in an honest conversation with God. You know what? God knows exactly what you're thinking anyway. So just go ahead and tell it to him. There is something so beautiful, and Tuss brought this up today, when we pour out our heart before him, going, God, how long do I have to wait for my spouse? God, how long do I have to cry out to you? God, I'm getting angry. God, I'm getting disappointed. God, I'm getting frustrated. Let him know the cry of your heart. Let him know that which you're feeling anyway. You know, I finished in my quiet time, The Minor Prophets, and I'll just be honest, these last couple of weeks have been low. So I've hopped into the Psalms, and I'm like, how long, Lord? Come on, Lord. We have been in a seed time season for 9 years. Like, when will be our harvest? And I'm just being honest, and I'm pouring out my heart to the Lord. God, I knew acquiring a building would not be easy, but did it have to be this hard? Okay, God, I knew we would need a miracle with our finances, but did the gap have to be that big? I'm like, come on. Be honest before the Lord. Pour out your heart to Him. He wants you to be honest because then He can minister. And if you're feeling like me, how long, Lord? Then I encourage to get into the Psalms and we can read them together. The fifth thing, he was quick to obey. Ananias was quick to obey. God said, go, and he went. There was no delay. After he'd poured out his heart, after he argued with God, God said, go, he went, and then he entered the house. I want you to hear, this is important. He didn't phone a friend. He didn't go to Crooked Street. He went to Straight Street. He went exactly where Jesus told him to go, and he entered the house. He's entering in the house of a murderer. He's entering into the house of someone who has come to his city to kill someone like him, and he did not delay. There is something of a disciple that is quick to obey. Church, the whole point of us hearing God's voice is so that we would obey, even when we don't understand, even when it makes no rational, logical sense to us. When God asked us to step out and plant Exchange, we were told there's only two good times of the year to plant a church in the East Bay, and that is January, February, and that is August, September, because everyone goes away to Holy Tahoe. And we felt like the Lord say, I want to defy the logic of human wisdom. Go ahead and plant in the middle of summer. Made no sense. Everyone counseling us, giving advice, are like, you are crazy. But what is the point of hearing God's voice if you're not going to obey it? What is the point of him speaking to you for you just to ignore it? As a disciple, may we be quick to obey. And the final one, disciples are powered by prayer. Powered by prayer. Ananias walked into that house. With faith, he laid hands on a murderer, and this man's eyesight was restored, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Ananias didn't walk in and go, yeah, no. That was very Australian, which means no. Nah, yeah, means yes. Anyway, he didn't walk in and go, mm-mm. Jesus did this to you. Jesus wants to keep you this way. Who am I to come in and pray that your eyesight would be... No, he didn't. He came in and with faith in his heart, he goes, I'm going to lay hands on this man and his eyesight will be returned and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. As a disciple of Christ, may we be powered by prayer, not just praying mechanical prayers, but being led by the Spirit and praying with authority and believing that you are speaking the words of heaven. He prayed with a humble heart because he was close and near to God. Church, I wonder, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? Have you believed the lie that salvation is not for everyone? Have you determined in your heart that there are people in your world that are too far from God's reach? And maybe today the Holy Spirit is reminding you salvation is for all, even for that person. Or perhaps you've disqualified yourself and said, God, you can't use me because I can't do this. God, I'm not gifted enough. And perhaps the Holy Spirit is reminding you today that all he requires from you is your availability. Or perhaps you've not been listening to God's voice. You haven't learned how to attune your ear to hear from him. And the Lord is saying, I want to speak to you. I have instructions for you. Or perhaps your prayer life has not been marked with honesty. You've come with your good side. You've come with all the things that you're good at. I praise you, Jesus. I worship you. Yes, I know you're good. But your heart is saying, I doubt. I fear. I don't understand. Perhaps the Lord is reminding you this morning, it's time to be honest with him. Or perhaps it's about obedience. He's asked you to do something. And today he's saying it's time for you to walk in obedience. Or perhaps it's your prayer life. It's grown a little stale. It's become a little routine. It's become a little mechanical. And he said, no, I have my Holy Spirit to fall on you, to fill you, to empower you, that you may pray prayers of faith like my disciple Ananias. See, in our discipleship groups, I see your prayer of three being prayed for. I see people holding each other accountable. How is it going with your prayer of three? When last did you pray? Who are they? Hey, let's go out for dinner. Let's encourage them. Let's invite them to church. I see in our discipleship groups a place where they're going to get saved, because salvation is for all. I see in our discipleship groups, whether it be men, women, teenagers, married couples, families, just everyday, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God, simply because we're available. I see in our discipleship groups, you and I learning how to hear God's voice, practicing how to hear His voice, a safe place, an encouragement to go, hey, let's lean in and let's listen. What is God saying to us today? I see in our discipleship groups a place where we're learning how to be vulnerable again, where we're learning how to be honest. We're not coming with a mask, we're not coming with pretense, but we are marked with honesty. I see in our discipleship groups us learning how to be obedient to that which God has asked us to do, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it's counterculture, even if no one understands. And finally, I see in our discipleship groups men and women learning how to pray effective, fervent prayers, learning how to pray in the Spirit, learning that you can walk into any situation because all authority has been given you. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Whatever it is that the Lord has spoken to you today, I pray that this week you would be obedient, that you would follow up, that you would lean in, and that you would ask questions. If you don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you to invite Him into your heart. As a church, we don't just want to have a moment with Jesus, but we want to spend a lifetime being a disciple, learning, growing, following. Amen. I'm going to invite our prayer partners to come up. And if the Lord spoke to you about something today, why don't you come up to them, ask for prayer. There's a lot that has happened in our church in the last 24 hours. And if your heart is burdened, if your heart is sad, then I encourage you to come up. They're going to pray over you. They're going to encourage you. And if you're away from God, there's distance, come up, receive prayer today. There is in this moment where we act in faith, but let me pray over you as Pastor Mark comes. Lord, I just thank you for your church. Lord, I just thank you that it is your heart for every single person to get saved. And God, if there be anyone here who is away from you or does not know you, then I pray, Lord, that on this day they would come into that relationship with you. And also, Lord, for all of our friends, family members, co-workers who are not in an intimate relationship with you, God, break our heart for them. God, because your heart breaks for the lost. God, may it not just be about our salvation, but may it be about the salvation of all. I thank you, Lord, that you are moving. Lord, I declare discipleship over this house. God, we thank you for the season that we're moving into. God, I just thank you that we will prepare your bride for your return. And we know, Lord, that that comes by making effective disciples. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for taking the time to listen to one of our podcasts. If you were blessed, please follow and share.